In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Been gone 11 days. I hit the wrong button. Sorry about that, Chris. I hit the button to yell at Chris. Chris Santiago, in for Ben Gary. Bad job by me, but good to be back.
Yeah, good job, Sean. We dealt with Barrel All last week and all kinds of technical difficulties with that.
I know.
So you come back to just not turn your button on. You got to understand what I've been through, man.
I know.
I got PTSD, in a minor way, over all of our technical difficulties from last week, and you come in and your mic's not working.
Dude, I come in and I can't do the most basic thing, which is press the right button to get my microphone on.
It takes a while to get back into the groove.
A little bit.
You know? Yeah. You got to get current. You just you got to get the muscle memory back triggered.
Yep. It's good to see you, man.
You didn't miss much.
I'll give you
a quick recap.
What did I miss?
There was a hurricane.
Okay.
The Astros swept the Rays, but then they lost the series to the Rangers.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, there was an attempted assassination attempt yesterday. You missed that. And a whole lot of other stuff. And like a lot of other stuff. Obviously, I don't want to make light of the assassination attempts, but I also don't want to make light of Jacoby Jones passed away.
Sure.
Your friend Ken Hoffman, who I didn't know personally, but I knew him through reading him for many years. And from his time at 1560 with you.
Yeah.
But and a whole lot of other stuff.
I come back from vacation. Normally, you come back, you're like, man, I feel good. I'm relaxed, and I am. I feel good. But this was a weird one to come back to, independent of all the things you just talked about from over the weekend with Trump and with this weird spate of death that we had over the weekend and things like that. Like watching the whole thing from afar last week, like I thought about that a lot this morning. I'm like, okay, what tone am I supposed to come back with here? Like, where are we at with all this right now?
I would say, look, there's a lot of weirdness out there. Yeah. And you can go scream at people elsewhere. Not you, Sean, just anybody in general. If you need a break from the screaming about real world stuff, come listen to Payne and Pendergast for the next 4 hours, where we're just going to treat this like we're the adolescents that we are.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to talk about sports. And a little bit of other stuff.
A little bit of other stuff, yeah. Okay, so last I checked, because I do want to give an acknowledgement to the people. Like, there are still people probably listening who are going through. I think I saw 385,000 still without power as of yesterday.
Yeah.
Yikes, man. All right, so.
It was, it was up in the millions for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It seems 8 times longer to those of you who didn't have power. Sean Bajani, who is in for you. Which I think our program director did specifically so I wouldn't mess up his name all that often. I just called him Sean. He didn't even realize I was calling him the wrong Sean, the wrong spelling every single time I said his name. But he was without power the entire week.
Wow.
Which I felt great for him. He just, hey, Sean, come on in and carry this 269-pound dullard for 4 hours a day while you're at home with a young son and a wife and no power.
Yeah. Well, I can bet you one thing. He hit the right button when 6 o'clock hit every morning. I guarantee you that, unlike me. Well, good, man. Well, it's nice to be back. A lot of heavy stuff going on this week, so I know about that. If you're still going through it, as Seth just said, we're going to get you through this. So appreciate everybody tuning in. You mentioned the Astros. That is the one thing. When Amy and I go on these long trips, Seth, these long road trips, we spend a lot of time in the car going from town to town. And we usually, it overlaps this time of year with some nice Astros baseball. We're able to listen to Sirius XM and hear the broadcast of the game. So I'm actually way more in tune with the Astros than I would normally be if I were to go away for a week, because we listened to every out of like 4 of the last 5 games because we were driving. It sounds like this weekend wasn't all that great, just from listening to it on the radio. Did it look as bad hitting-wise as it sounded described by Robert Ford?
The old nemesis of the hitting with runners in scoring position, multiple times where the base is loaded and no outs or one out would become bases loaded with 2 outs and then bases loaded with 3 outs. That was frustrating. Saturday was a weird game. There were so many weird things that happened on Saturday, including Mauricio Dubon's first ever ejection, where he had to be restrained by Omar Lopez, the bench coach, which I think might have been what led to the ejection. Because, what could Dubon have said? You know, he's Dubon.
Yeah.
He's a lovable, he's basically a Smurf. And he was being restrained and got thrown out after he was clearly on replay safe at first, and yet it was, I guess, because the ball had entered the perimeter of the leather. That counts as an out. That makes a lot of sense, I suppose. It was a frustrating in a lot of ways. I mean, Blanco yesterday, the biggest thing about Blanco yesterday, Sean, is that he ends up only allowing three earned runs.
Two
earned runs, that's right.
Yep.
He allowed 2 earned runs, but he's just, these last couple outings, his velocity's been down.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect him as much these days because his changeup is so good, but there's a lot of concern about the fact that he's careening towards way more innings than he's ever pitched in his career. And as of late, he hasn't been that great when he's only had regular rest. You know, early on in the season when he's getting an extra day rest of a lot, plus that little break he took for whatever, because the commissioner's office told him to take a break for a while.
They put him on sabbatical for 10 days, yeah.
I mean, it just kind of, it hammered home the point that, all right, they absolutely got to get some starting pitching help sometime quick.
Well, and if I'm understanding things, Seth, and tell me if I am, It sounds like the Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers situations took a turn for the worse while I was gone.
Yeah. Garcia, I'm not... Garcia, I'm trying to just say, all right, look, you're coming up in the All-Star break. They're taking it easy. They're going to be as careful as possible with him. Lance McCullers is currently seeking a second opinion somewhere.
Yeah, that's
and
not
we
good,
know, man. We know how well that goes for the Astros when guys go off seeking second opinions. We most recently saw that with Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy, who are feeling great, by the way. It was important that Espada told us that as they were going off to seek their second opinions, they would not suffer on the plane ride because they were feeling great. And then they both underwent Tommy John surgery.
Espada was telling us they're feeling great as they're getting wheeled into the surgery room. No, they're looking. Look, he's smiling. He feels fine. He's on
Netflix,
the gas.
You know? Yeah. These guys will be able to probably get ice cream and recovery. Oh, do they do that for non-tonsil patients? I don't know.
Right.
And so McCullers, the important thing is that wherever he's going for his second opinion, he's probably watching old Key and Peele skits or something. He's probably feeling just fine.
Just fine, yeah.
Okay, everybody?
Yeah, settle down.
Everybody relax.
Settle down.
Verlander pitched off the mound for the first time.
I heard about that. Yeah.
In the bullpen before yesterday's game.
Dude, I got really frustrated at one point during my vacation. It was probably Thursday or Friday when it felt like the report about every single guy that was injured was that they were playing catch. Literally all on the same day. Like, so how's Verlander doing? Well, I mean, he's coming back slowly. He's playing catch. I'm like, okay. What about Luis Garcia? Well, you know, we're going to take it easy on Luis. He's going to miss this rehab start. He's playing catch. And I'm like, okay. Well,
it would be like back in the day if they had said, hey, look, J.J. Watt had back surgery, but he took a nice stroll around Memorial Park this morning.
This playing catch thing. And then Kyle Tucker. It feels a little slow that he's coming back for the injury that you and I saw firsthand, but whatever. But when they threw in that, but Kyle's also playing catch. I'm like, enough of the playing catch. I don't want to know who's playing catch. I don't want to know that they're playing foursquare. I don't want to know that they're playing hide and seek, kick the can, or any other game that you play with your neighborhood friends or your dad. I don't care about playing catch, okay?
Kyle Tucker took a Segway tour on the bayou. Did you hear? Yeah. It was a guided audio tour.
Saw the bats.
He downloaded a podcast in it, yeah.
Kyle Tucker saw the bats. Oh, you mean like the kind you swing?
The Wabats.
No,
he went... swinging a bat? Oh, no, that's not legal.
No. he saw some bats. Oh, my God.
The forestry department really frowns on swinging the Waw colony bats. Yeah.
So I guess the upshot of all this, though, is thank God the Seattle Mariners are so bad at baseball lately.
Yeah, they suck.
They suck at baseball.
The Astros are one back. When you left, the Astros were what, three back? Going to the Twins series?
Yeah, it was about that. Yeah, because I think three or four back. Because I think the games that we were going to in Minnesota when we left on Wednesday, Amy and I were looking at. We went Friday and Saturday, the 5th and the 6th in Minnesota, and I think the last show you and I did together, I'm like, they could be in first. I could celebrate the Astros being in first place Saturday night in Minnesota mathematically. I didn't, but it's about three or four games. Yeah.
Saturday was a really weird. There were like three or four situations in that game that were just strange with like kind of miscues and near misses. Spencer Arrighetti had a really weird play that got overturned, luckily, but where he didn't cover first because he thought that Singleton was gonna tag first.
Yeah.
And at the very last moment. So I guess the replay gods were, I guess, fair in some of the. That was a one that I honestly thought that. You could have made the argument that the base runner had a spike on the bag, but you couldn't see it. So I actually would have understood more if they didn't overturn that one compared to Mauricio Dubon's.
Amy pointed this out as we're driving and listening to this game. She's like, who the hell is the first base ump in this game? The first base ump had three calls contested from like the fifth inning on. Like that one you're talking about with Arrighetti was the first one. There were two more after that.
I'll tell you what, Sean, too. The home plate umpiring over the last 4 days or so, this is where you listening on the radio, you don't have to face the frustration of seeing, like Singleton yesterday. I mean, there's pitches like 4 inches outside the zone, and he's just, like absurd, absolutely absurd calling these things strikes. And it went both ways, I suppose. But my God, it was frustrating. It was a frustrating series versus the Rams. I'm not excusing it. Look, they got to hit better, et cetera, et cetera. But man,
I just look at it. If someone had said June 19th was the day that you and I came in, they got shut out by the White Sox the night before, and they were 10 games back. On June 19th, this is less than a month ago, they're 10 games back. If someone came in and said, here, sign this paper, the Astros will be one game back at the All-Star break, I'd have been like, okay, thanks. I feel like I just won the lottery. So I can't get...
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Too upset about the two losses to the Rangers this weekend, other than it was the Rangers. But one game back heading into the All-Star game this tomorrow, I feel pretty good about things, man.
The one thing, as far as just a blood feud versus the Rangers, the Chaz McCormick and Hunter Brown basically did a 1-2-3 combo on Adolis Garcia this weekend, because Hunter Brown hit him like pretty hard. And it was, the first pitch was inside, and then the second pitch was more inside. It was Hunter Brown being fiery and feisty.
Like it.
And then Chaz McCormick on consecutive nights robbed Adolis Garcia in right field, and then robbed him in left field, which I know you heard. I know you heard it as you were listening, but they were spectacular catches.
Yeah,
so that was nice, at
that's,
least.
That's good. Anything to make Adolis Garcia more miserable, I'm here for. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com. That's T-Mobile.com/switch. Great to be back. The weirdest thing about coming back from vacation on July 15th, training camp is three days away.
Yeah, baby.
Holy crap.
Here we go. Early training camp forever. It's Christmas in July.
That's it, man. That's it. I'm going to throw – I got my biggest storylines. My biggest storylines for training camp. I'm going to float these to Seth, and we'll see how he feels about these. But training camp 3 days away, and we got you covered – all training camp long and all season long here on Sports Radio 610. That is next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, man. So many weird things getting back this week. some good, some bad. But the maybe just the strangest in terms of feel, Seth, is that usually I take the same couple weeks off every year, the first couple weeks of July. Usually I come back and there's a solid week and a half until training camp starts.
Yeah.
Training camp's Thursday.
Yeah, this is because of the Hall of Fame game. The Texans, though the NFL has robbed us of that fourth preseason game league-wide that everybody loves so much, now that the Texans get four preseason games this year because of the Hall of Fame game.
They get extra.
Thank you, Canton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you, Andre Johnson. That's, I would say, probably the big reason that the Texans and the Bears are going to face off in the Hall of Fame game. So training camp Thursday, I was thinking about this coming back, like, okay, this is going to feel very, very different, this training camp, than the last few. Than even in last season, where last season felt way different than the previous two, the Cully and Lovey training camps. Now, this is now a training camp, Seth, where there's going to be, the NFL Network is going to be there, ESPN's going to be there. Like, this isn't just an intriguing team now. This is a really good football team to go along with the intrigue.
Yeah, we get to see all of those little network types out there on the sideline with their preening about in their little NFL polos. I don't know if NFL Network still exists or not, but as far as ESPN, they're firing everybody. Yeah. They're firing everybody as fast as they can.
It's weird.
It's not that I'm going to miss their programming or anything, but there will be a lot of people from all the outlets and possibly NFL Network out there.
Yeah, it should be good. What's the thing you're most excited about Thursday?
Honestly, just the wide receivers and the defensive backs. Yeah. I think that's where you get to see more actual battles taking place, and they are positions of intrigue, obviously, because they're so loaded at wide receiver, and yet there's going to be fierce competition for those fourth and fifth spots.
Boy, will there.
John Metchie, just people have gushed and gushed and gushed about him, and I think in the OTAs and minicamp, he did look like a different guy. So I'm intrigued by him, and then Kamari Lassiter and Okuda and Henderson at cornerback, the battles that those guys will have with all these receivers should be really, really good stuff.
Dude.
I trust Derek. Like, Derek Stingley's going to have some really good battles with him, but I know what he can do. I just want to see these other guys.
Yeah, but I can't wait to see Stingley go against these guys. You know, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, bring him up. That should be fun, man. That should be fun. My these are my four biggest ones that I'm excited to see, or that I think the biggest storylines for training camp. I'll count them in ascending order, I guess. Kenyon Green, what he looks like, and the battle at left guard for a couple of reasons. One, I'm still petty enough to where I need Kenyon Green to work out because he was a pick that came from the Deshaun Watson trade. I'm just wired that way. I'm sorry. But two, as you pointed out, one of the biggest Achilles heels on this team is the interior of the offensive line. If this left guard battle looks like one where you're like, man, I don't care who wins this. It looks like they've got some good competition there, and one of these guys is going to hold this down. That's a huge bucket of gravy right there for me. My expectations are not high for that position right now.
I think Kenyon Green and Kendrick Green both, I'm wide open to being impressed by. I think that Kendrick Green is in a better system now than he was in Pittsburgh for him personally. I think he's just better suited to this than the offense they were running when he was a rookie. And I think he might just be a guy that even though physiologically he looks more like a center, maybe guard is his better position. And then I would lump center in with that battle too.
Yeah.
Center is a tricky position because it's really important that that guy has a relationship with the quarterback, that he gets the mental side of it down pat. So I think they're going to try as hard as they can to get Juice Scruggs up and going. But I think he is in competition with Patterson for that spot. So those four guys between Patterson, Scruggs, and the two Greens, and then, you know, Ladarius Henderson as well, I think there's some genuine battling going on there.
Yeah, and that's one that we didn't really get to see in OTAs and minicamp because they don't wear pads. You know, like, we'll get to see him hit at training camp. That'll be good. So that's four. Three for me is kind of ties in to what you were just talking about, the weapons. I know you were talking about the battles with the corners and the wide receivers. I'm just anxious to see just how all the weapons get assimilated. You know, does it look like a rusty kind of training camp early on with these guys? Or is this a training camp where we're like, man, you know, CJ's clicking with Stephon Diggs. You know, Joe Mixon. Yeah. I can tell you just from being at the OTAs and minicamp, like Joe Mixon, like physically looks amazing. You know, and he was doing all the things that you need to do at a padless minicamp to make you feel good about where he's at. But I think just getting the weapons assimilated and all the pieces kind of installed is something to watch for.
I think that Cade Stover is a big X factor, and I don't think he's going to be rookie of the year or anything like that. But if he, who already has a relationship with C.J. Stroud, and C.J. just loves him in terms of being a friend to him, but also just already having a prior connection through Ohio State, and on an offense that, man, when executed properly, having two tight ends in this offense that are good receiving options can be really, really, really brutal. A lot of it comes down to how well Cade Stover ends up blocking. Because if he can be a blocking threat, he's only played the position full time for 2 years. That could really unlock a lot of things too, as well as be a compliment to those three wide receivers.
What was Diggs doing on Instagram yesterday?
He put out as far as I could tell, it looked like a highly produced video of him working out with CJ Stroud.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Man. It's going to be good, man. It's going
to
be good.
I couldn't swear. I had bookmarked it and then forgot to watch the whole thing. He looked like Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I'm not worried one bit about Stephon Diggs athletically. I think a lot of people that just do box score analysis on it thought that it was somehow age-related, that he started off on pace for 1,600 yards in that season and then dropped off in the last third of the season. It really, really wasn't. It was a brand-new offensive coordinator. They were doing a lot of different things, and Diggs was used differently. But he was still getting open.
Yeah.
So athletically, I mean, he'll drop off athletically a little bit every year because of his age. But I don't think it's going to be a Jose Abreu type of drop.
Amy, when we were driving in the car while we were on vacation and all the hurricane stuff was going on back here, after she made sure to check on her parents, check on her close friends, you know, mm-hmm. teachers at the school, things like that, she's like, I need to check on Stephon Diggs. You know, like, check his social media. And just because, you know, Stephon, he was having trouble getting around Houston early on during his time here, just pure, like, traffic stuff. Like a hurricane is a big wake-up call for guys that have never, you know, spent time in Houston before.
That's a good point, Sean, because Stephon Diggs first adjusted to the potholes.
Right.
You gotta be careful with those low profile tires when you're in Houston. That's one thing a lot of professional athletes learn early on. Like, you listen to the songs and you want to be rolling on, some nice wheels and everything. But you got to be careful, man.
Yes.
You got to go very – look, those were the back in the days of lean, where if you were rolling, you were rolling slow, okay? Very carefully. Now you just got to be careful out there with the potholes, and yes, the hurricanes as well.
And the hurricanes as well.
We don't know if Stephon was actually in town for the hurricanes, so it's so far so good. He doesn't even have a clue about how bad it can be.
Yeah, I'm looking at his Twitter, and it doesn't look like
he tweeted out something like "Stay hungry" or something.
He tweeted out 3 days ago. He tweeted out "Must remain focused."
Focused,
dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And then later that day, tweeted "God be my source."
Okay,
this is where
the stay focused part. Yeah. This is the thing that I think a lot of people feel but don't want to really believe it. I'm going to tell you this right now: Stephon Diggs, in a lot of ways, can be the absolute best thing for this young locker room, because he was on a team in Buffalo for the last several years that was gushed about in the offseason as the team that's knocking on the door and it's their turn next. The Texans are that team now. So I think in terms of the old dude that's annoyingly telling the rookies, like, hey, man, like, hey, stay focused. Don't let all this outside noise get to you. I think Stephon Diggs is actually the perfect deliverer of that message.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Some people would call that a messenger.
That's right. That's right.
The person who delivers a message.
The person who delivers a message is a messenger, yes.
Yes.
Number two for me, big training camp storylines. Just the kind of what I alluded to coming into the segment, like the look and the feel, like there's so much excitement and energy and hope right now with the Texans, and it's going to translate some kind of way at training camp, whether it's with bigger crowds, whether it's a different vibe around the team, whether it's I'm very anxious to see how this whole thing feels. We haven't had a training camp like this since the Kubiak era, I don't think.
I think that if I think back to my conversations I had with fans last year, there were two main emotions. One was a cautious optimism, but still some kind of trepidation over the previous couple of years. But then also, remember this time last year, a lot of people were skeptical of Nick Caserio still. And for many reasons, I think. And one of them was that they didn't feel like that he was genuinely going to let DeMeco make this his team. And I understand why people felt that way, because they'd just gone through 2 years where, frankly, they had a bridge coach in place in each of those years. First, it was David Culley, then a weird pivot to Lovie Smith at the last moment. And it was there was a lot of wait and see. And I think this year, I think that's all been erased. I think Nick Caserio is as well-liked as he's ever been in this city. And I don't think anybody has any question about whether he and DeMeco have a good, productive working relationship.
No. And it's not even that we have clarity on what the relationship is. It's that it's even better than I think the average fan could have imagined it would have been. It's that good. Number one for me is, among storylines, is like, this is CJ's team now. Like, CJ, he owns the place now. Last year, this time, the question was, is he going to be the starting quarterback week one? And now we're 12 months later, and the question is, could he be the MVP of the league this year? Like, that's how big, that's how big a difference there. It's not, okay, here's CJ's reps, and now here's Case's reps, and now here's Davis's reps, and now we go ask DeMeco if CJ's the starter, lather, rinse, repeat, and we do this for 15 straight practices or whatever it is before he gets named. Like, this is CJ's team now. You know,
I think the biggest thing, like, aside from CJ's core personality being one that, hey, he consciously tries to keep a certain level of humility about him, you know, and understands that he still has a lot to learn and all of that. But then you add to that, the arc of his rookie season was one in which it was a slow build as he just kind of methodically kept learning about the NFL and learning the offense better, and by the end of the season was operating like a veteran NFL quarterback. Sometimes when a rookie has a rookie of the year type of campaign, a lot of times these days it's A, because he's super athletic, and that was not CJ's experience, you know, and a lot of the other time too, it's because he's playing on a team that has like a really, really good defense and also a really good rushing attack on offense to support him. CJ didn't have any of those things, and he doesn't have the athleticism. That's not his calling card. You know, he's just fine as an athlete by modern quarterback standards, but that wasn't what made him good as a rookie. Sometimes those guys, I think, don't quite understand how hard it's going to get to be the second year. Like, they don't, and you know, as a coach, sometimes when you've got an athletic quarterback, you're kind of like, you're trying to tell him, like, okay, hey, that's cool, man, but listen, we got to keep working on not using your legs to bail you out of things. So he's going to be facing a lot of new challenges because the opponents have had 6 months to work on whatever perceived weaknesses they saw or whatever areas of opportunity they have. CJ understands and gets all that, and I don't think he's in danger of a sophomore slump.
I don't either, and you add in the fact that I think, I'm not saying it's a guarantee or anything, that each aspect of the offense, non-CJ aspect, is going to be better in 2024 than it was in 2023. But I think if I had to, like, I think that the betting favorite is that each of the, like, wide receiver is going to be better. You went and got Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I think tight end is going to be better. You know, you get Dalton Schultz in year two and you add Cade Stover to that mix to go with Brevin Jordan. I think the offensive line, if it's healthy, is going to be at least better than it was early on last year for CJ. And then running back, you've got Joe Mixon instead of Devin Singletary and, you know, whatever Damian Pierce was struggling with last year. CJ, I think, is going to be better just because he's wired that way. The schedule's a little harder, but they've done a really good job of setting him up for success, I think, in year two. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Man, it's great to be back. Great to be back talking to all of you. Great to see Seth. Great to see Chris Santiago in for Ben Gary today. We'll do some headlines next. The Astros, tough weekend for the Astros, but how are we feeling about the first half? And one of the all-time characters for the Texans, and I think one of the all-time good guys, too, passes away over the weekend. We'll talk about that coming up in headlines next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Today's headlines, we start with the Houston Astros. They lose yesterday to the Texas Rangers. 4-2, the final score. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Rangers over the weekend. Yesterday, the story was they had kind of some of that left on base disease that they had early in the season, left seven guys on base, which you may look at and go, well, that's not a ton, Sean, leaving seven guys on base. When you get six hits, it is. So there was an issue with the hitting and an issue with when they got hits, they couldn't get the big hit, and that was the issue, says manager Joe Espada.
We had opportunities there to score a couple of runs. They executed some good pitches. We were just not, we just missed some good pitches, I think. We got the traffic when we needed to. We got the guys that we wanted at the plate, and it just didn't happen. It didn't go our way.
All right, so they lose two out of three to the Rangers, but overall, what's our feel right here, Seth, at the figurative halfway point on the Astros right
now? I think that you've got to feel great about the last month. They dug themselves out of being 7-19 earlier in the season to where they are right now, one game back of the Mariners. Feel good about all of that. I think feel good about the bats in general. The squandered bases loaded with no outs this weekend and various other instances like that, you're gonna run through those rough patches. I feel good about the bats. I feel very, very good about the bats. I feel good about a lot of the young guys. I'm nervous as hell about Blanco and him. He is just careening towards pitching way more pitches than he's ever pitched in a major league season, and his velocity's down a little bit. I'm happy to see that Verlander threw 25 pitches from the mound in the bullpen, which is a big step forward for him. But they just flat out have to get starting pitching help. They just which we all know. I feel way better about Singleton at first base. Dana Brown a couple times has mentioned that they feel good about Singleton at first base, but we also heard him say that Singleton was this team's first baseman before they brought Jose Abreu back.
Yes, good point.
And made Jose Abreu the team's first baseman again, yeah.
Hey, how big a topic was it with you and Bajani last week about all the rumors swirling about the first baseman that they might go after? With the trade deadline, Alonso and guys like that.
We talked about it. I think that it just takes a back seat right now with Singleton giving you competitive at-bats and with him playing. I mean, Sean, he made, off the top of my head, I can think of at least four really impressive athletic plays at first base over the course of the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's locked down defensively and improved a lot more as a first baseman. I think, you know, you look on the season, his outs above average and all that stuff is still, he's still a minus defensively. But he stabilized that. You know, a lot of that damage was done in the first part of the season when he was getting spot duty at first base. The only other question about him is that, you know, he's faced a lot more righties than lefties as of late, and he's just much better against righties than he is lefties. So I don't know how they feel about him looking forward through the second half of the season, that they can get the same thing out of him offensively that they did over the last few weeks.
Big couple weeks, man, between training camp starting for the Texans and the trade deadline coming up for the Astros, it is going to be fun. So Astros head into the All-Star break one game back of the Seattle Mariners, dead even in the loss column. Better than we could have imagined 4 weeks ago.
San Francisco is going to kick off. Akers walks, now trots, now accelerates and swings his left leg through the ball. The kickoff taken 9 yards deep by Jacoby Jones. He brings it out of the end zone on the hash mark, the 10. He gets a block at the 20, up the middle of the 30, gets another block at the 35. There he goes, across the midfield, the 40, down the side, the 30, the 20. They chase him to the 10. He returns it all the way for an opening second half touchdown on a kickoff return of 108 yards. The longest kickoff return in Super Bowl history.
That was Jacoby Jones back in that was the Harbaugh Super Bowl, the Ravens and the 49ers. Can make an argument he should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl. He caught a touchdown pass as well. Jacoby Jones, unfortunately, in the news today because he passed away over the weekend at the age of 40. The only report I saw that touched on the cause of death was Aaron Wilson. I saw had a tweet that he passed away in his sleep. I know the family put out a statement that said he passed away peacefully at home. That's all the detail we have right now, other than the fact that this is just an incredibly sad story, Seth, for an incredibly popular former Texan.
Yeah, and, you know, he and I weren't on the Texans at the same time, and I only knew him kind of casually through, you know, a couple of meetings here and there. But just everybody I've ever talked to that talks about him as a teammate just says he was just, like, the most purely, joy-loving, energetic dude ever. And in a way, I think, when you look at the way, I think, you know, sometimes Jacoby, when he was a more immature player here with the Texans, I think from a fan's perspective, I know there were times where people could get angry at him for some of his mistakes. But I think from a teammate and from probably a coaching perspective, if you look at it from Kubiak or what have you, he was this guy that was never, he was almost like a child in a good way that you couldn't get angry at because you just love the kid, you know? So he exuded that kind of positive energy and just a love for life that he's just universally loved by his teammates. And really, really a shame. And it was, when you could get over how you might have felt about him from his days with the Texans, to watch him have the success he did with the Ravens, it was really cool to see him. And then to see him go on the late night shows and Dancing with the Stars, yeah, and everything else like that.
He was built for stuff like that, man, for sure. Yeah. I was really happy for him that he got his day in the sun in Baltimore after the way it ended here in Houston with that. I mean, it was one of the biggest gaffes in Texans history, that fumble on the punt against the Ravens that kind of set the stage for that game. And then he ironically goes to Baltimore, the very team they lost to in that playoff game. And he was a huge catalyst, not only in that Super Bowl. I mean, he had that the catch against the Broncos in that road. I think it was a divisional round game in that playoff run. I think they call it the Mile High Miracle for Baltimore, where he caught that pass from Joe Flacco that scored a late touchdown. And just an outpouring of emotion from former teammates, J.J. Watt on Twitter, Arian Foster, Ray Lewis on Twitter. And Seth, my bit of Jacoby trivia, my first radio interview, John Harris and I, when we were hosting together over at 1560 back in 2007, literally the first interview we ever did on that show was Jacoby Jones. That was the first radio interview of my career was Jacoby Jones. He was a rookie. And so when Johnny and I were requesting a player to come on, we're like, hey, we're rookies too. Why don't we have a big rookie interview here? And Jacoby knocked it out of the park, man. Late bloomer, Lane College.
How did he describe himself?
He described himself in high school as 150 pounds, soaking wet with bricks in my pockets.
Yeah. He would, the Astros would have drafted him. He was a late bloomer in a lot of ways.
It would have, man. RIP Jacoby Jones. That's a tough one right there. Passes away at the age of 40. All right. Those are your headlines. Rockets win in summer league. Save that for Acknowledge Me, man, because we may be on the cusp of a phenom here with the Rockets with Reed Sheppard. We'll save that for Acknowledge Me, but they beat the Wizards last night 109-91. Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore look like they're playing a different version of basketball than everybody on the court.
Oh, my gosh, man. Boy, that was fun to watch. Those are the highlights I want to consume from Rookie League. It looked like Reed Sheppard was a man amongst boys.
It was great.
He looked like an and-one tape. You know, it just like he was just kind of having his way with pulling up and hitting threes, entry passes, outlet passes, just all the stuff you want to see out of as a guy that I think a lot of people are looking at as a catch and shoot option, like on ball.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like a point guard, man. Yeah. That was good stuff. That was fun. That was fun to watch.
Big time fun. And five steals, too, on the other end. Like it's happening at both ends of the floor. He's a really good athlete, man. So we'll talk about him in the 7 o'clock. Astros at the half. The Astros are at the halfway point, so we'll take a look. What are the playoff chances right now? Roster status on guys that I think are hoping come back for this team. We'll hit that. First half superlatives, a lot to get to with the Astros. So we're going to kind of sum up the season so far as we're at the figurative halfway point with the All-Star game tomorrow night. We'll do that coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful.
The starting quarterback week one. And now we're 12 months later. And the question is, could he be the MVP of the league this year? Like that's how big a difference there. It's not, okay, here's CJ's reps, and now here's Case's reps, and now here's Davis's reps, and now we go ask D'Amico, CJ's the starter, lather, rinse, repeat, and we do this for 15 straight practices or whatever it is before he gets named. Like, this is CJ's team now. you know?
I think the biggest thing, like, aside from CJ's core personality being one that, hey, he consciously tries to keep a certain level of humility about him, you know, and understands that he still has a lot to learn and all of that. But then you add to that, the arc of his rookie season was one in which it was a slow build as he just kind of methodically kept learning about the NFL and learning the offense better. And by the end of the season was operating like a veteran NFL quarterback. Sometimes when a rookie has a rookie of the year type of campaign, a lot of times these days it's A, because he's super athletic, and that was not CJ's experience, you know. And a lot of the other time, too, it's because he's playing on a team that has, like, a really, really good defense and also a really good rushing attack on offense to support him. CJ didn't have any of those things, and he doesn't have the athleticism. That's not his calling card, you know. He's just fine as an athlete by modern quarterback standards, but that wasn't what made him good as a rookie. Sometimes those guys, I think, don't quite understand how hard it's going to get to be the second year. Like, they don't, and, you know, as a coach, sometimes when you've got an athletic quarterback, you're kind of like, you're trying to tell him, like, okay, hey, that's cool, man, but listen, we got to keep working on not using your legs to bail you out of things. So he's going to be facing a lot of new challenges because the opponents have had 6 months to work on whatever perceived weaknesses they saw or whatever areas of opportunity they have. CJ understands and gets all that, and I don't think there's, I don't think he's in danger of a sophomore slump.
I don't either. And you add in the fact that I think, I'm not saying it's a guarantee or anything, that each aspect of the offense, non-CJ aspect, is going to be better in 2024 than it was in 2023. But I think if I had to, like, I think that the betting favorite is that each of the, like, wide receiver is going to be better. You went and got Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I think tight end is going to be better. You know, you get Dalton Schultz in year two and you add Cade Stover to that mix to go with Brevin Jordan. I think the offensive line, if it's healthy, is going to be at least better than it was early on last year for CJ. And then running back, you've got Joe Mixon instead of Devin Singletary and, you know, whatever Damian Pierce was struggling with last year. CJ, I think, is going to be better just because he's wired that way. The schedule's a little harder, but they've done a really good job of setting him up for success, I think,
in year two.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Man, it's great to be back. Great to be back talking to all of you. Great to see Seth. Great to see Chris Santiago in for Ben Gary today. We'll do some headlines next. The Astros, tough weekend for the Astros, but how are we feeling about the first half? And one of the all-time characters for the Texans, and I think one of the all-time good guys, too, passes away over the weekend. We'll talk about that coming up in headlines next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Today's headlines, we start with the Houston Astros. They lose yesterday to the Texas Rangers. 4-2, the final score. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Rangers over the weekend. Yesterday, the story was they had kind of some of that left on base disease that they had early in the season, left 7 guys on base. Which you may look at and go, well, that's not a ton, Sean, leaving 7 guys on base. When you get 6 hits, it is. So there was an issue with the hitting and an issue with when they got hits, they couldn't get the big hit, and that was the issue, says manager Joe Espada.
We had opportunities there to score a couple of runs. They executed some good pitches. We were just not, we just missed some good pitches, I think. We got the traffic when we needed to. We got the guys that we wanted at the plate, and it just didn't happen. It didn't go our way.
All right, so they lose 2 out of 3 to the Rangers, but overall, what's our feel right here, Seth, at the figurative halfway point on the Astros right
now? I think that you've got to feel great about the last month. They dug themselves out of being 7-19 earlier in the season to where they are right now, 1 game back of the Mariners. Feel good about all of that. I think feel good about the bats in general. The squandered bases loaded with no outs this weekend and various other instances like that, You're gonna run through those rough patches. I feel good about the bats. I feel very, very good about the bats. I feel good about a lot of the young guys. I'm nervous as hell about Blanco and him. Like, he is just careening towards pitching way more pitches than he's ever pitched in a major league season, and his velocity's down a little bit. I'm happy to see that Verlander threw 25 pitches from the mound in the bullpen, which is a big step forward for him. But they just flat out have to get starting pitching help. They just, it's which we all know. I feel way better about Singleton at first base. Dana Brown a couple times has mentioned that they feel good about Singleton at first base, but we also heard him say that Singleton was this team's first baseman before they brought Jose Abreu back.
Yes, good point.
And made Jose Abreu the team's first baseman again, yeah.
Hey, how big a topic was it with you and Bajani last week about all the rumors swirling about the first baseman that they might go after? With the trade deadline, Alonso and guys like that.
We talked about it. I think that it just takes a back seat right now with Singleton giving you competitive at-bats and with him playing. I mean, Sean, he made, off the top of my head, I can think of at least four really impressive athletic plays at first base over the course of the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's locked down defensively and improved a lot more as a first baseman. I think, you know, you look on the season, his outs above average and all that stuff is still, he's still a minus defensively, but he stabilized that. You know, a lot of that damage was done in the first part of the season when he was getting spot duty at first base. The only other question about him is that, you know, he's faced a lot more righties than lefties as of late, and he's just much better against righties than he is lefties. So I don't know how they feel about him looking forward through the second half of the season, that they can get the same thing out of him offensively that they did over the last few weeks.
Big couple weeks, man, between training camp starting for the Texans and the trade deadline coming up for the Astros, it is going to be fun. So Astros head into the All-Star break one game back of the Seattle Mariners, dead even in the loss column. Better than we could have imagined 4 weeks ago.
San Francisco is going to kick off. Akers walks, now trots, now accelerates and swings his left leg through the ball. The kickoff taken 9 yards deep by Jacoby Jones. He brings it out of the end zone on the hash mark, the 10. He gets a block at the 20, up the middle of the 30, gets another block at the 35. There he goes, across the midfield, the 40, down the side, the 30, the 20. They chase him to the 10. He returns it all the way for an opening second half touchdown on a kickoff return of 108 yards. The longest kickoff return in Super Bowl history.
That was Jacoby Jones back in that was the Harbaugh Super Bowl. The Ravens and the 49ers can make an argument. He should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl. He caught a touchdown pass as well. Jacoby Jones, unfortunately, in the news today because he passed away over the weekend at the age of 40. The only report I saw that touched on the cause of death was Aaron Wilson. I saw had a tweet that he passed away in his sleep. I know the family put out a statement that said he passed away peacefully at home. That's all the detail we have right now, other than the fact that this is just an incredibly sad story, Seth, for an incredibly popular former Texan.
Yeah, and, you know, he and I weren't on the Texans at the same time, and I only knew him kind of casually through, a couple of meetings here and there. But just everybody I've ever talked to that talks about him as a teammate just says he was just, like, the most purely, joy-loving, energetic dude ever. And in a way, I think when you look at the way, I think, you know, sometimes Jacoby, when he was a more immature player here with the Texans, I think from a fan's perspective, I know there were times where people could get angry at him for some of his mistakes. But I think from a teammate and from probably a coaching perspective, if you look at it from Kubiak or what have you, he was this guy that was never, he was almost like a child in a good way that you couldn't get angry at because you just love the kid, you know? So he exuded that kind of positive energy and just a love for life that he's just universally loved by his teammates. And really, really a shame. And it was, when you could get over how you might have felt about him from his days with the Texans, to watch him have the success he did with the Ravens, it was really cool to see him, and then to see him go on the late night shows and dancing with the stars and everything else like that.
He was built for stuff like that, man, for sure. Yeah. I was really happy for him that he got his day in the sun in Baltimore after the way it ended here in Houston with that. I mean, it was one of the biggest gaffes in Texans history, that fumble on the punt against the Ravens that kind of set the stage for that game. And then he ironically goes to Baltimore, the very team they lost to in that playoff game. And he was a huge catalyst, not only in that Super Bowl. I mean, he had that the catch against the Broncos in that road. I think it was a divisional round game in that playoff run. I think they call it the Mile High Miracle for Baltimore, where he caught that pass from Joe Flacco that scored a late touchdown. And just an outpouring of emotion from former teammates, J.J. Watt on Twitter, Arian Foster, Ray Lewis on Twitter. And Seth, my bit of Jacoby trivia. My first radio interview, John Harris and I, when we were hosting together over at 1560 back in 2007, literally the first interview we ever did on that show was Jacoby Jones. That was our, so the first radio interview of my career was Jacoby Jones. He was a rookie. And so when Johnny and I were requesting a player to come on, we're like, hey, we're rookies too. Why don't we have a big rookie interview here? And Jacoby knocked it out of the park, man. Late bloomer, Lane College.
What did he say? How did he describe himself?
He described himself in high school as 150 pounds, soaking wet with bricks in my pockets.
Yeah. He would. The Astros would have drafted him. He was a late bloomer in a lot of ways.
It would have, man. RIP Jacoby Jones. That's a tough one right there. Passes away at the age of 40. All right, those are your headlines. Rockets win in summer league. Save that for Acknowledge Me, man, because we may be on the cusp of a phenom here with the Rockets with Reed Sheppard. We'll save that for Acknowledge Me. But they beat the Wizards last night 109-91. Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore look like they're playing a different version of basketball than everybody on the court.
Oh, my gosh, man. Boy, that was fun to watch. Those are the highlights I want to consume from Rookie League. It looked like Reed Sheppard was a man amongst boys.
It was great.
He looked like an and-one tape. You know, it just like he was just kind of having his way with pulling up and hitting threes, entry passes, outlet passes, just all the stuff you want to see out of as a guy that I think a lot of people are looking at as a catch and shoot option, like on ball.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like a point guard, man. Yeah. That was good stuff. That was fun. That was fun to watch.
Big time fun. And five steals, too, on the other end. Like it's happening at both ends of the floor. He's a really good athlete, man. So we'll talk about him in the 7 o'clock. Astros at the half. The Astros are at the halfway point, so we'll take a look. What are the playoff chances right now? Roster status on guys that I think are hoping come back for this team. We'll hit that. First half superlatives, a lot to get to with the Astros. So we're going to kind of sum up the season so far as we're at the figurative halfway point with the All-Star game tomorrow night. We'll do that coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.